Before there was Aleve, or Celebrex, or Vioxx, there was aspirin, and then there was acetaminophen and ibuprofen. We've called Dr. Eleanor Modi, a rheumatologist at Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston, to give us a primer on why we take some pain relievers for some complaints and other pain relievers for others. Welcome to the program, Dr.
Thank
Modi.
Thank you.
First of all, aspirin, old reliable. What does it do, and why shouldn't we always be using it?
Well, that's a very good question. A patient got very upset with me a few weeks ago when Vioxx came off the market, and I suggested he take one of the over-the-counters, and he said to me, well, I might as well just take an aspirin. And I said, well, actually, if aspirin was developed today, it probably would not be over-the-counter. It's what we most people now know is a COX-1 inhibitor. That means primarily it blocks the COX-1 enzyme, which is used to synthesize in the body prostaglandins, which are inflammatory molecules.
But in fact, if somebody just put aspirin on the market and it were a prescription drug, wouldn't we be reading studies saying aspirin increases risks of ulcers in some patients?
Absolutely. I think something that people don't really understand about the COX-1s and, of course, the COX-2s is that they had definite risks. All of the COX-1s had the risk of gastric ulcer, which, you know, is potentially a life-threatening problem. They can increase people's hypertension if they are prone to that, and they can cause renal insufficiency.
Now, when you speak of all the COX-1s, you're speaking of aspirin and what else?
Ibuprofen, Aleve. They're also known as Motrin, Aruidus. Many of these you can get over the counter. And, you know, there's really not a lot known in the community about these medications. For one thing, that what they do, that if you have a stomach ulcer or you've had a stomach ulcer, you might not want to take them, or at least not take them alone. And you certainly don't want to combine them.
Now, what is fundamentally different between that class of COX-1 inhibitors and then the group that includes Celebrex and Vioxx, the COX-2 inhibitors?
First of all of these medications have some COX-1 inhibition and some COX-2 inhibition, including all of the what we call COX-1s. But the COX-2 inhibitors, Celebrex and Vioxx and Bextra, were more selectively COX-2 inhibiting. And because of that, were felt to have a lower risk of gastric and duodenal ulcer.
One over-the-counter drug that you haven't mentioned is acetaminophen, or brand name Tylenol. Not like the others, I gather, a different kind of drug.
It is a different kind of drug. It does not specifically target COX-1 or COX-2 enzymes. It has a different mechanism of action. It's really not considered an anti-inflammatory medication. It's really purely an analgesic. And, of course, it's also used for fever control.
So pain, fever, it could address, but not inflammation.
Correct.
As a practitioner, practicing in the age of mass media advertising straight to the consumer about drugs, how common is it for you to be told by a patient, I've seen people with arthritis dancing on television, I want that drug?
It's very common. I sit down with a patient who asks for this. I explain, you know, what I know about these drugs, and then give my recommendation about, you know, what probably is the best choice for them. Often when patients hear that, you know, this is a new drug, we don't really know as much about it as, say, ibuprofen or naproxen, they are a little bit less excited about it. But most people, patients are pretty savvy nowadays, and mm-hmm. if things are explained to them, they get it.
But isn't it counterintuitive to say, the drug that is bringing you the evening news and that is the subject of these very highly produced television commercials, we actually don't know that much about it?
It's actually not that uncommon. I mean, we get a lot of our information on drugs in the post-marketing phase, meaning once it's already been released. I think then you get sort of more into the question of what really is the role of the FDA, which I think may be being reevaluated by our society now. Is it to make sure that every drug that's on the market is 100% safe, or is it to get them out there as fast as sort of reasonably possible and then accept that there may be a later effect that we don't know about?
Well, Dr. Modi, thank you very much for talking with us today.
Thank you.
Eleanor Modi, who is a rheumatologist at Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston.